after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon. Good Friday afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's going to be a good show today. Got to get into the playoffs. We got a busy weekend extending into Monday to talk about some big playoff games. I'll give you my full predictions as we bust into that. I've got the Swole Cracker, Steve Ivey, RCS, great guy, our CSU Rams guy, diehard basketball guy, no doubt about it. He's got a really big-time story that I want to talk to him about, that he's going to open up about later on in the show today. I mean, I'm telling you, man, if you want to talk about a fan that loves the Colorado State Rams, that's this guy. And he's such a diehard fan. He's such a knowledgeable fan that, you know, he comes on and he's a fantastic guest for us. There's a lot of fans out there, but, you know, he's beyond that. You know, he's doing write-ups at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress. He's there with Ram Nation. He does podcasts with Ram Nation, our great friends at Ram Nation, stuff with us. I really love his stuff. Gotten to know him just a little bit. I went to the CSU-UNC game with him a couple of weeks ago, and he gets into it. He's a lot of fun. And we're going to talk to him today about a pretty meaningful couple of games coming up for Colorado State with their Bigger Than Basketball campaign, CSU partnering with UC Health to honor cancer warriors. So we're going to bring Steve on and talk a little bit about those two events with the women's game on January 15th. And the men's on January 28th. It's going to be the third year in a row that they've done the men's and women's basketball teams where they've recognized UC Health Cancer Warriors by wearing their names on the back of the jerseys instead of their own. It's an awesome thing. It's a really, really awesome thing. And so we're excited to talk to Steve about that. Let's see here. We got our poll question up, our Method Flow products poll question. This one, we've been having discussions about this the last couple of weeks. I had Clark Johnson, the voice of Preps Radio, and Clark and the coach on the show last week. I've talked to Kevin Lytle about this quite a bit, but I want to get your thoughts. Should new college coaching staffs honor commitments that were made to their school prior to them taking the job? So the situation you have with Dorian McGarity and Dante Johnson, the Fort Collins high school football players, committed to CSU while Steve Addazio was still the head coach, and then Jay Norvell comes over and basically they don't get reoffered after the coaching change. Do you guys think that that's something where you owe it to them at least for the year? And I'll give you my piece on this one. I think that if they don't fit your system, if they don't fit what you're trying to do, and that could be skill set, whatever, then you're doing both a disservice. What good are those two guys going to come over if Jay Norvell's already looking at them like, yeah, they're not going to be a part of what we're doing? That's bad for the kid too. So I want to get your thoughts. I have a lot of comments on this, big time. Some of you guys are confused by the question. I don't think it's that confusing. Just read it a couple of times. You'll get there. Should they honor it? Some guys, just yes, obviously. Okay, what's obvious about it? It's because it's not obvious. This is not an obvious debate. Texter here from CSU Ram fan. No, and it goes both ways. A player can jump to another school. A school can jump to another kid. I think in general, a school should honor the offer if the coaches don't change. That's where I'm leaning. I mean, again, when you're a coach, you're recruiting the kid that's going to fit you as a head coach, and it's not going to help the athlete either. Should they? Yes, but there is no legislation by NCAA. Of course not, right? I'm saying, should that be something that is put in these deals, so to speak? Texter, so no, they don't have to. And that, in some ways, is the nature of things now. So the real question is, should CSU or their athletic director or the state or Colorado put something in place that protects student-athletes from coaching changes where millions of dollars are exchanged but not for the students? Interesting that schools need loyalty to help flourish but won't now often get it. It, of course, is a double-edged sword. Good stuff from you guys. A lot of great stuff from you guys on this. Absolutely no. When the coach's livelihood is on the line, starting day one, it's the exact same as allowing kids to leave when the coach who recruited them leaves. Yes, and that's true. I mean, the only problem I have with like comparing it and saying, well, if the coaches get to, the student get to, great. It's not fair either way. Well, the coach is still getting paid. And I know we say livelihood, but these guys are making millions doing this. But I do agree with Jay Norvell. I think that the coaching staff, I'm sorry, and I know they're kids, but it doesn't do anybody any good if they don't think you fit with their program, then you're not going to fit with their program. You're wasting your time. The staff's wasting their time. And you probably need to start looking elsewhere. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Texter here. No, the coach shouldn't have to honor it, but he sure as hell could help those that committed to the school to try to find another landing spot. In normal years, the kids usually would find a landing spot on their own, but this isn't a normal year, and it may not go back to normal for a few more years. The recruiting landscape for a high school kid has been brutally shut down because of the COVID overflow. And then there's a lot of people saying, well, is Norvell going to recruit locally then? Is that ever going to happen? Here's what I'll say to that. Because I do think it's important. Do I think it's the end-all be-all for Colorado State? No. For UNC, yes, they need to recruit locally. Don't judge the local recruiting based off of this year. Because Jay Norvell has not been recruiting and studying and researching Colorado while he was in Nevada, unless something really big hit his radar. He's been researching his funnels. Like, where is his recruiting avenues? And that's, as we know, California. He's got a lot of avenues in California. Obviously, Nevada, as far as transferring. So, the only thing I caution, because some people are getting all mad, and, well, you're not criticizing Norvell because he's not recruiting locally. He already had a list. And again, with the transfer portal, recruiting, I don't say recruiting got easier, but it became a little less of the biggest necessity. Because if you're transferring over, what, 11 guys? That's 11 guys you don't have to worry about filling a spot as far as recruiting goes. So everything has changed. The landscape is completely out of control. I mean, in a good and a bad way. I saw this tweet from Dick Vitale, who I've been following his cancer battle on Twitter, and we just hope that he can continue pulling through, man. I mean, the tweets have been so brave from him, and I mean, if you're not a Dick Vitale fan, I'm not sure that you really like sports. I mean, he's loud or whatever, but he said, he tweeted this yesterday. Transfer portal was never intended to have the cheating and wheeling and dealing going on behind the scenes. Coaches guilty in cases moving on to jobs and raiding their ex-schools. Well, that's exactly what Jay Norvell, according to that description, you could essentially say that's what's happening with Jay Norvell. Coaches guilty in cases moving on to jobs and raiding their ex-schools. Told by an insider, and again, he's not specifically talking about Jay Norvell, just saying that that's an example. Told by insider third party, people making deals while players playing in a program, sickening. That's true. We knew this was probably going to happen. Here's what I want to know. A guy's playing for CSU. CU likes that kid. That kid's always wanted to go to CU, but CU never made him an offer. But now he's starting to tear it up. How is it leaked to that athlete that CU might be interested? So anybody entering the transfer portal, Jarek Broussard for CU, the stud running back, enters the transfer portal yesterday. Does he have inside information that's leading him to believe there's some place where the grass is, quote-unquote, greener? Is he getting that information? And how is that happening? That's what I would like to know.
I think something that should also be considered is this isn't affecting just 4- and 5-star athletes. Like, if a 4- or 5-star athlete goes in the transfer portal after his coach leaves, there's a good chance he's going to end up somewhere else. Looking at the guys that are the local guys that might be 3- 2-star guys that their only offer was CSU or CU or whoever, and the coach leaves and they're stuck because they didn't get looked at because they're 3- 2-stars.
Yeah.
And they're stuck because CSU is my only shot or whoever. and now my coach is gone. I don't know this new guy. I want to play football still. I don't want to do JUCO or D2, whatever. He's kind of just stuck there. And I think that's a part that a lot of people just overlook, that, oh, you go to the transfer portal, you'll guarantee a new spot somewhere.
That's the tough part. And I do think as this progresses in the upcoming years, you're going to start getting players that have since graduated have experienced the transfer portal on the negative side, and they're going to be there. You know that coaches are going to be looking for those kids, right, to come back and speak to their team about the transfer portal, about how it was the grass wasn't greener. You know, you got to be careful, make sure it's the right fit. This is, again, the NCAA, all of this, even CSU's situation. This is the NCAA not regulating all of this from the get-go. How could they have done it? I don't know. I don't get paid billions of dollars to make these decisions, millions of dollars to make these decisions. But I've discussed this at great length. I am for the transfer portal. I am for name, image, and likeness. I am for a kid transferring with a new coaching staff coming to town, or a new coaching staff not reoffering a scholarship. I almost said contract. Scholarship. I'm okay with all four of those things, but they're not. None of them are really regulated. December, these kids find out. Or was it early January? Whatever. And now they're scrambling, trying to figure out what their next... And so that sucks for them. That really does. The name, image, and likeness deal. Obviously, it's being abused in certain areas. There are businesses flat out saying... And I did believe this would happen. I just didn't know to the extent it would happen. I thought... And I still think that it could even the playing field at some point. Because just because you have a great football program doesn't mean your state or your town is necessarily richer than one that doesn't have a great football program. So it does allow new ways for Fort Collins people to grow, Fort Collins schools to grow. But again, it needs to be regulated. Dick Vitale's tweet is not necessarily wrong. Transfer portal was never intended to have the cheating and wheeling and dealing going on behind the scenes. Yes, but here's the deal. Wasn't that stuff already happening? I mean, we were already doing that. We were all, hell, man. I mean, Louisville's doing sex parties to get kids to come over to theirs. That was what they were doing, what, 7 years ago? We're using that as a recruiting tool. We're giving them parties and we're, you know, giving them stuff that, you know, we don't even know about. That stuff was happening then. It's happening now. But the NCAA, what do? Here's the can. Kick her on down the road. Name, image, and likeness thing's never going to happen. We're not going to have to worry about that. And then the Supreme Court steps in and says, yeah, these guys should be able to make money off of their likeness, which is a simple enough concept. If Johnny Manziel signs an autograph and sells it for $10, he should not get suspended for half of a football game. That's the way this has gone from the get-go. But now it's morphed into something way bigger, and the NCAA failed to get their arms around it 10 years ago.
Yeah, and even I saw recently that Texas A&M, when compared to like Alabama, they were able to get way more money for their NIL kids versus, and Alabama almost had like a limit on themselves.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that's eventually, could that even the playing field out? Here's what I thought was cool about, I know this, you're going to throw up in your mouth a little bit, but Stetson Bennett is, he was not a nil guy. He was not famous by any stretch. He was a walk-on who had to earn his way to the top. The fans in Georgia didn't want him as the quarterback. They didn't even know if they wanted him to be there at all. And he stayed, and bam, it paid off for him. No matter what this guy does in his career, whether he does go on to play any kind of football outside of Georgia, which I don't know, I doubt it, he won a national championship against one of the most storied college football teams in history. So either way you want to slice it, that guy stuck it out. He could have said, I want to transfer to a JUCO school. I want to transfer to a smaller school and try that. He believed in himself. I'm not saying that's always going to work out, but he believed in himself. This whole landscape is wildly unknown and untapped. And again, if the NCAA would have had some foresight going forward 10, 15 years ago, they could have had a system in place where they could have actually hired name, image, and likeness people at school to deal with these kids. They could have actually brought more money in because these mini networks like what KFKA is doing, you could have essentially done that. Split the revenue with those kids. If it's Crazy Carl's Pizza wanting to sponsor this student athlete, great. It goes through the school. The school pays the kid. That's now the school's not paying the kid based on salary or anything like that. They're paying them based on 100% the sponsor that chooses Angel to back. And that's how they should have done this. And I don't know how that would have been fixed exactly, but that should have been the process. If you're interested in name, image, and likeness, step into our office. All right, I'm going to be frank with you, kid. You're the backup center. We are probably not going to be able to find you any kind of unique sponsor this year. Not to say we won't make a couple of calls, but that's the way of this world. So thanks for coming by. We'll let you know. That's how it works. And these kids deal with that. It's business. They're also learning about business too. So there are many positives on this side. I wish the NCAA would have found a way years ago to get their arms around this thing. And it probably would have been more lucrative for them, all the student athletes, and they could have regulated this a lot better because you wouldn't have those boosters throwing it out. The boosters are free agents, not just the boosters, the businesses. They're free agents. They're not regulated by the school. We're not regulated by the school. The kids are, they have to send in the paperwork for compliance. But right now, there's not a lot of like tightness on this. Very interesting. Method Flow Products poll question of the day is up. That's different, but it's part of what we're dealing with here. It's part of the transfer portal. The transfer portal directly impacted those Fort Collins High School football players. Because if Jay Norvell did not have all those transfer kids coming immediately over, he might have been forced to say, you know what, we're going to need all the help we can get. But the transfer portal makes those coaches' jobs so much easier. Should new college coaching staffs honor commitments that were made to their school prior to them taking the job? 53% of the Hooligans say no at this point. So go vote at theholeshow.com, and we'll see where this one ends. 22 minutes after the second hour, or the first hour, I should say. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to talk about the Nuggets last night. They absolutely dominate the Portland Trailblazers. We'll get into that story when we come back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. The Denver Nuggets take down the Portland Trail Blazers 140-108. They did not slow down in that fourth. In fact, the Joker didn't have to play 1 minute of the fourth period, and that's, you know, that hurts his stats, I suppose. But the Nuggets are certainly okay not having to look over their shoulder and expect a big comeback. Head coach Michael Malone even said, hey, I'll bet you Nuggets fans all over were waiting once we hit that fourth period when the collapse was going to come. They were wondering when the collapse was going to come. We'll get to that, but I do want to thank On the Rocks Liquor for bringing our game beer of the week. It is Friday. The weekend is upon us. Game beer of the week from On the Rocks is Horse and Dragon from Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. It is a Snow Camp Porter. Pick up selections from Horse and Dragon or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive through. They're open until midnight every single night. Yeah, it was a blowout early. Nuggets were up 41-28 at the end of the first and never really looked back. The second, Portland kind of kept it interesting, but it was a 17-point game, and the Nuggets ran away. You name it. Jeff Green had himself a game, 19 points. They were talking about the first game he'd ever had. His debut was in Denver as a member of the Seattle Supersonics. So that goes to show you how long ago that was. Van Gundy's on the call last night. A couple of things, though, he brought up, like about Jeff Green. Why does this guy not end up on teams more than like 1 or 2 years? He's been on 11 different teams. So it's crazy to me because he's a solid player. I think he's fit the Nuggets pretty well, finding a groove. Couple of things that stood out, though, watching this game. Aaron Gordon goes from 30 to 5. Like, That's what I'm talking about. Yes, you won. You beat the Trailblazers. They're without their stud with Damian and McCollum's out. I mean, this team is depleted. They are fading. They're 16-25. It's only going to get worse. Damian Lillard's going to be reassessed in 6 weeks after the surgery on his abdomen. He's not coming back anytime soon. So this thing is going south in a hurry. So Denver runs away with this, but I still struggle here. You got Gordon, who was certainly the Robin to Nikola Jokic the other night, and comes back with 5 points in a blowout fashion. So I'm not going to be too critical here, but again, you still want somebody to get some of that attention. It was, though, one of those nights. Literally, everybody for the Nuggets that played scored. Reed got 3 points. Rivers with 9. Hyland with 17. Howard with 3. Campazzo, 18. Campazzo had a good game. He had a bad game the other night. Now back to a good game. Inconsistencies are still rearing their ugly head at the Nuggets, but at least at this point, they are 2 points over the, or 2 games over the 500 mark. When we come back, we're going to talk to Steve Ivey. He's the Swole Cracker. He is a big-time Colorado State basketball fan, a big-time college hoops basketball fan. We're going to talk about something near and dear to his heart that CSU's putting on for both the women's basketball team and the men's basketball team. We'll get to that. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKS.
Minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. It is an absolute, it's always an honor to get this guy on talking basketball. I mean, just a plethora of basketball knowledge he's going to bring to the table each and every show. Sitting and watching a basketball game with him is an experience that everybody should take if Steve has the time. The Swole Cracker himself, Steve Ivey. Steve, great to get you on the program, my friend, as always.
Brady, as always, thanks for having me on. It's a little bit of an overcast Friday, but just being with you brightens my day.
You know, man, the wind kind of hit. I had my kiddo had a four-year-old doctor appointment today, and he loves the wind. I hate the wind. I hate the cold. And he didn't want his coat on. And we're running out, so I'm sprinting to get him in the car, and he's cracking up laughing as we're running through the parking lot. So at least he's happy with this cold weather.
I hate the wind, too. I'm a golfer. I hate the wind.
That's right. You're all about basketball, all about golf, man. That's no doubt about it. Well, I want to get into some CSU hoops with you in a moment, but I definitely want to bring this up, and I know you've been tweeting out this information, kind of going out there, letting people know about what's going on with you. But first and foremost, we're talking about this bigger than basketball campaign, so to speak, with Colorado State. They're partnering with UC Health to honor Cancer Warriors. They've got the women's game tomorrow, January 15th, and the men's game on the 28th. This will be the third consecutive year that the men's and women's basketball teams will recognize UC Health Cancer Warriors by wearing their names on the back of the jerseys instead of their own. I absolutely love this campaign. And Steve, you and I have just gotten to know each other really over the last couple of months. And you know, you and I talked about it. I think you revealed some new information to me about a week or two ago, and you had revealed that information on Twitter moments ago today. Talk to us a little bit about what this game means to you personally, Steve.
It means a lot. It really is a fantastic thing that CSU does with UC Health. I have attended both games. I was fortunate enough to be at the game last year as a member of the media when there were no crowds allowed, and it's a really special game and a way to bond the players with Cancer Warriors and also with UC Health, which is a real extraordinary organization. In my personal situation, and again, we talked about it, you and I, and on Twitter I revealed it. I was diagnosed with cancer in August via colonoscopy. I have colon cancer. I had surgery in September to remove 9 inches of my colon. Unfortunately, they found one lymph node with metastasized cancer, which meant chemotherapy. And I began a 12-week chemotherapy regimen in at the end of October, and that'll be finishing up actually this week on the 17th. And so I am currently a cancer patient with UC Health. about a month or 6 weeks ago, I got a call from a woman named Kathleen Michie at UC Health who said, she basically asked, would you be interested in participating in this bigger than basketball thing? And she started explaining it, and I just immediately cut her off and said, hell yeah, because it was the ultimate. I mean, I about fell over when she called, because it's like a dream come true for me, Brady. I've been a basketball fan all my life, and it really warmed my day, and it really warmed my heart when I was asked to participate in it.
It's I'm so glad, I'm so honored, to be honest with you, Steve, that you've wanted to be on this program, and of course to be a part of this game. That's going to be so cool. And I got to say this about you, Steve, my friend. I had no idea. And you are so energetic. You are so fun to be around. You are you're a happy guy until it comes to the officiating in games. And then things change a little bit. But you are a happy guy. I love reading your cup of coffee. I love reading, you know, what you're writing about the Rams. And I'm telling you right now, you are a true inspiration, because there are a lot of people, and nobody would blame them, when they're going through tough situations like what you're going through. It's easier to just say, I'm just going to shut down. I'm just going to go off into this. Not you, my friend. You are a fixture at Moby Arena. You say, you know, it brightens your day to be on this show. It brightens anybody's day to be around you. In the short time I've gotten to know you, just talking to people that also know you, I mean, you have a lasting impression no matter where you go. So my goodness, man, when they say warriors, cancer warriors, they're definitely talking about the Swole Cracker. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you know, thank you, Brady. Thanks for the kind words. You know, in terms of how I feel about this, I'm actually pretty fortunate. Cancer stinks, and I'm not going to lie. Chemotherapy stinks, but I'm fortunate enough that my regimen is only 12 weeks right now, and it's finishing up. There are plenty of people that go through much harder. A much harder regimen than I do. And to me, those people are just amazing. I mean, these are people that go for infusions every week for years. And it is pretty amazing what they do, because it's a really uncomfortable thing to go through. But the other thing I've been blessed with, and I need to bring this up, is I'm fortunate we have such a great medical community in Northern Colorado with UC Health. I've had wonderful surgeons, oncologists, nurses, staff, whatever, and they really are extraordinary people. And this, believe me, is the most difficult times these last 2 years with COVID. It's very stressful for them. And what I've gotten from them is, I can only say I'm blessed by what UC Health has done for me. They're just an extraordinary organization.
Yeah, man, no question about it. And Steve, so what's everything looking like for you right now? Because I know a lot of our listeners, I know a lot of people that follow you, that love you, certainly want to know. As you mentioned, you're finishing up with the chemo side of things, but what's the outlook? What's everything looking like for you right now?
Well, it's not 100%, that's for sure. I'm not out of the woods yet, but we'll know a lot more at the end of the month. But every sign has been good up until now. We'll see. At the end of the month, I have some tests, and I have a CAT scan that'll reveal if there's anything going on. So all in all, Brady, it's looking good, but I'm not 100% out of the woods.
Oh, man. We'll, you know, all of your people in your corner, new people coming into your corner, we're all going to be thinking about you, praying about you, whatever you need, my friend. And again, this game, I love when you were talking to me about this game. You know, you kind of joked. You're like, hey, it's always been a dream of mine to play some D1 basketball or to be out on the floor. It's kind of going to happen in a roundabout way.
Yeah, you know, I got to come clean on this. Initially, when I was contacted, I had some emails go back and forth with the woman who picked the 15 cancer warriors, and they had no idea that I was a huge fan, and they have no idea that I'm involved with you on radio and involved with the RamNation.com guys with podcasts. And so I started walking them through that, and I said, you know, is there any chance given that my goal was to be a Division I point guard when I was a little 10-year-old kid growing up outside of Philadelphia, right next to Villanova, I said, is there any way you can line me up with Isaiah Stevens? And the woman was nice enough to say, I'll see what I can do. And she tried, but in the end, they went alphabetical order with matching names with numbers. And I'm still blessed. I got lined up with redshirt freshman Jalen Scott, who won't be playing. He'll be wearing my name. He'll be sitting on the bench, which is probably appropriate because that's where I spent my last year of my basketball career, getting splinters. So, but the other part is, you know, just having Jalen there. You know, I wrote about this. As soon as I found out it was Jalen, I sent a note on to Nico Redshirt and said, you damn well better remove his red shirt and get him on the floor so I could at least get some court time. And of course, Nico said no way, and we had a good laugh about it. So, but I tried, and yeah, it is such a blessing for me. This is I talk about it. It's a dream come true. It's a make a wish kind of thing for me to get honored in such a way and have my name on a shirt is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I love this. And again, the third consecutive year of doing this Bigger Than Basketball. And that's the it's all in the name, isn't it? I mean, it is Bigger Than Basketball. And what we can do to spread some awareness and highlight, as we talk to you and as you mentioned, other folks in the areas that have been dealing with something along similar lines as you and going through this for years or just this year, or as you mentioned, even in the COVID years, things have been really tough when it comes to pretty much anything medically. So being able to highlight all of that with some great basketball teams in the area, I think is really just a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, Brady, it really is. And I applaud the CSU athletic department for their involvement with this, too. They take it very, very seriously. We'll be doing a Zoom meeting with the team. We exchange notes with the players, you know, personal notes with the players. And they're very, very involved with this whole program. And so there's that. There's the game. There's the getting to talk with them at the game. There's the getting to keep a replica jersey, that kind of stuff. And they are very, very – and like I said, it's just an incredibly special event. And I'm so blessed to be involved with the CSU program the way I am. And as I said, UC Health.
Yeah, well, and again, you're a fixture when it comes to CSU basketball. I say you've become this fan that is elevated among fandom. Like you're writing about this team. You're obviously on this show talking about this team. Ram Nation, another amazing podcast, another amazing outlet too. So, I mean, your basketball knowledge, Steve. I mean, it's second to none, my friend. So being able to get you on and just talk hoops, X's and O's, and all that stuff. I mean, it's thrilling for us.
So, you know, Brady, my knowledge, I just love the game. There are plenty of people that know a lot more than me, but I just love the game. And I went to my first Division I basketball game when I was 10 years old. I got to see Villanova and Penn. I got to see a Rhodes Scholar from Penn, who my mom would prefer I would have been. But I also got to see three NBA players from Villanova in that game. And it was in the Palestra. And if you ever get a chance to see a college basketball game, the Palestra, people talk about Madison Square Garden as the Mecca. In terms of college basketball, there's no better venue than the Palestra in Philadelphia, and that's the first place, and I've been going to games ever since. I attended Duke University. I got to see ACC basketball. I went to graduate school at the University of Arizona. I was there for their last year in the WAC and their first year in the Pac-10. And so I've been blessed with that, and then came to Fort Collins and got involved with the program here, and I'm so excited. And I have to add, I am so excited that I'm going to be attending the UNC Weber State game on the 27th. That, to me, I'm looking so forward to that. UNC's having a great year. Weber State's a great team, and that's going to be a classic Big Sky matchup. I'm so looking forward to that, too. It's nice to have great basketball in Northern Colorado.
And I believe we're hanging out for that one, right? That's still the plan. Did you change your mind on that?
We are hanging out, and I'm going to hammer on the refs. I got to tell you, I got them the other night when the Utah State game. I let one ref hear about it when the foul count was 7-2. and I got him to look up to the scoreboard to acknowledge it. And it was pretty damn funny. We were having a good time with that, and the foul count all of a sudden started changing. It's amazing what happens when you throw a comment out there.
You know your stuff. You know the refs by name too. I'm sitting there next to you, and you're like calling out the names, everything. I mean, like I said, you know your stuff.
I was actually a real nice guy to one of them the other night. Turns out I played golf with him a bunch. he used to live here. We were members together at Ptarmigan Country Club. And we used to play a lot of golf together, and he subsequently has moved because his wife has a different job. And it doesn't matter where he lives. He travels. But he's a Big Ten ref. He does mostly Big Ten games. And he happened to be in the arena, and I was kind to him. I didn't think he had a particularly good game either.
I love it, man. Steve, I'm up against a break here, but CSU, San Jose State, tomorrow you're getting to see old friend Tim Miles. We were hoping that it would be the opposite, that we get to see Tim in Fort Collins at Moby, but not the case, but still going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, one of the disappointments of this whole cancer thing was when that game first came up on the schedule. My wife and I had immediately planned to go. We were going to go visit my sister in San Francisco, and we wanted to see Tim and Nico together. There are a lot of people that have been involved with the CSU program that are going to go out to that game just to be part of it because of their love of Tim and Nico, and it should be an interesting affair. I got, you know, Tim talks about how bad his team is and how weak they are and all that. And he's the biggest sandbagger, believe me. He's had, and Nico knows it. Tim's had this game circled on the schedule since it was first announced. There's nothing more he'd like to do than beat Nico. So it should be an interesting game.
Yeah, and they're already kind of on the improve, which I suppose isn't a big shock for Rams fans. Steve, my friend, we'll catch up with you next Friday. But man, we love you. We love getting you on the show. We'll be thinking about you. We'll be praying about you as you battle through this and everything. And we're just hoping for the most for the best results that we could possibly get as we progress through this journey with you.
Brady, thanks so much for giving me a platform to talk about it. And if I have one wish for everybody who's listening, go out and hug somebody who you know who may be currently experiencing cancer or maybe has overcome it, or go out and hug a healthcare worker. They're incredible people, and what they've done over the last couple of years is extraordinary.
Yeah, very well said. And Steve, thank you. I know this is something you said, hey, I just haven't really thought about really opening up that much about this side of it, but we appreciate it. I'm seeing on Twitter everybody's showing their support. You're a very special dude. And Steve, my friend, we'll catch up. We'll talk some basketball. We'll be watching some basketball very soon together because I know you're in for all of it. You are a diehard, so we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Very good. We'll talk to you next week, Brady. Have a great week.
All right. There he is, Steve Ivey, the Swole Cracker. And, man, they don't make him much better than that guy. He is he's a great dude, but really fun to watch basketball. I watch basketball, and I'm quiet. I'm reserved. I take it all in. Steve is getting after it. He is yelling. He's getting after the refs, and I am thoroughly entertained by it. 12:52 the time. Short break coming up. We'll wrap up the first hour on the other side. I got Chris Dempsey jumping on at 1:15 today. We moved it to 1:15, Angel. So we'll have Chris coming on to talk to us about the Nuggets going forward. My poll question, we'll get to that more. And my picks, big NFL playoff weekend coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Hear Bears basketball on the voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Shout out to the GOAT. They're located, of course, in Greeley, Colorado. The GOAT Sports Bar is the newest local sports bar around. It's the place to be for all the local games, you know, the national games that mean something to you. I'm guessing tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday night are going to be absolute hotspots for the GOATs. So make sure you jump over there, watch some of these NFL playoff games. I got my picks, full picks, coming up in the second hour. We'll get to those. But, man, the GOAT, there's nobody better. Seriously. 36 HD TVs. I had a just a burger kind of guy for me. but their fries are thick. They're like these chips almost. They're delicious. Absolutely love it. Guys, stop by. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think that, you know, that coaches, new coaches, should honor commitments made by players before those coaches got there? I mean, what do you guys think? A lot of you are saying no, or about at 60%. So Chris Dempsey coming up in the second hour. NFL picks coming up as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.